Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, it's that time of year again. It happened really quickly, didn't it?
It really did.
I just feel like it was the 4th of July a minute ago, and here we are. So we have what we have every year, which is the dilemma, opportunity, possibility of the office holiday party.
Yeah, and just the festive season in general, because, you know, some of the behavior, some of the pointers for the office holiday party are probably as efficient in your other endeavors.
Yeah. I think the first thing everybody asks, well, a lot of people ask each year, because they're piled up with obligations and they feel like, oh, this is one more, I don't feel like I can do it, is, do I have to go? And, you know, you have to gauge the temperature of your office and figure out, is this something that everybody's expected to attend, that they traditionally attend? You know, you think parties are not mandatory, they're optional. Office parties are a little bit different because they're really, as I like to say, work in fancy clothes. In festive clothes. And so you have to figure out what happens if you don't go. If you have a reasonable reason for ducking out, as opposed to, I just don't like parties and I don't like you people and I don't want to spend private time doing this, which is something that probably shouldn't be shared anyway, then, you know, by all means, it's like, well, we're traveling the next day and things are going to be hectic, so we're going to miss it this year. Or, you know, my in-laws are sick and I've been helping to take care of them and I skipped the last turn, so I really have to pitch in this time. Or, you know, something like that. That works. You know, my kids' finals are the next day. I'm helping them prep. We take this really seriously, so sorry I won't be with you. All of those things sound like reasonable things to me.
Yeah.
The business of I'm just not going. I don't like parties. I'm not going. It's a little bit harder for the office to swallow because it's presented as the opportunity for fellowship amongst your colleagues. And so the message you're sending is kind of like, I don't like you enough to be bothered. And if that's the case, okay, but then maybe you want to be working in another office where you like people a little better.
Yeah, and that's one of those places where, and I'm actually really qualified to say this because I'm the great. What everybody's known about me for years is that I am the anti-party. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you have a reputation of, you know, if that's how you've lived your life, you might be able to get away with it. Otherwise, mm-hmm. Sorry, it's just something that, you know, there's so much, if you will, oversharing, quote, going on. It's just something that you want to just. View as a work obligation and do it.
Yeah, if you're known as the office grump, then they're not going to expect that.
Right.
And you might get a pass if you're the office cheerful person that's always trying to get everybody else in a better mood, but you're just not up to it this year. They might give you a pass for that, too. If you're just like a regular, you know, whatever person, then they're going to expect you to be there. And the other thing is, unless it's a formal seated dinner, and most offices don't have the money to do that anymore, more most workplaces, then you can probably do a drive-by. You know, come for 45 minutes, an hour, circle the room, say hey to everybody, have a glass of ginger ale or eggnog or whatever, and then say, we have a conflict, but we felt like we didn't want to miss this completely, so happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever, and we'll see you next week or in the new year, depending on when your party is, and leave. you know, you may go and discover you're having a really great time and you want to stay.
Right.
Always possible.
Yeah, and I think there's a way of doing that. I don't know. Seems easy because unless it's a formal sit down thing, it's something that you can, you can allocate your time for, mm-hmm. And not stay for the whole thing and be pleasant for the, you know, the short time that you are there.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually they give you some kind of indication of what the dress code is, but not always. The thing that drives me crazy is festive dress. Because what does that mean? You know, do I go with Christmas tree lights wrapped around my wrist? I mean, so I think festive dress probably means dressier than you would normally wear at the office, party attire, but not necessarily semi-formal attire unless it's a really fancy do. And some places do that as a thank you to their employees. It's like, it's been a hard year. You all have worked really hard. We're going to, you know, this big fancy white tablecloth restaurant, and the menu's going to be fabulous. You want to dress for the occasion. If it just says festive dress, you know, some people wear their ugly Christmas sweaters as an ironic statement, and that's okay, too, if they're comfortable with it. But I think it just means a little more out of the ordinary. And some, it's like, if it's right after work, then it's whatever you wear to work.
Yeah, and there should be some discretion, I would just in terms of whatever message you're set, your messaging and what clothing you are wearing,
mm-hmm. Yeah, festive dress does not mean super duper micro mini or
with that fringe,
or your suit with your with no tie and your shirt unbuttoned down to your navel because you have a six pack. That's for your friend's party or your neighbor's party, but not your office party.
Yeah. So there's, as I said, discretion or some discretion advised. And also behaviorally, I am certain that there are a number of people who have been, even though we're not hearing about them necessarily in the news, but who are raised right and behave very well. But you do bring your party manners. You just do. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And you don't, just because there's an open bar, decide to take full advantage of the open bar. It's still your office party. And think about, do you want your boss to see you sloshed? Do you want to see your boss sloshed? I mean, you can't control your boss's behavior, but you don't want to be remembered as that person that had the, you know, four margaritas and then was out back heating them up, or the four margaritas and was running around giving everybody sloppy, wet kisses saying, it's that time of year, I just love it, you guys. Let's don't do that. You know, I usually give myself one. If I were bigger, maybe, and could metabolize it differently, I might give myself two drinks while I was there, if I was going to be there all night. I have no problem holding, you know, ginger ale in a champagne glass. Let them think what they want. Or a glass of sparkling water with some lime stuck into it. And, you know, it's kind of nobody's business that you're not drinking. And I think if you don't make a big deal out of it, it's not a big deal.
And the thing that goes with that is, once again, and we're just going to, if there are people who already know this, this is more for people who just require a little refresher. People don't have to hear every little thing that you're doing. You don't need to walk into a conversation and say, hi, I'm drinking ginger ale, so I don't get, you can just do that without drawing attention to it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, because of the liability, a lot of workplaces now, which I think is so smart, tell their employees, leave your car in the parking lot, and we will pay for an Uber, a taxi, a Lyft, whatever, home, because we want everybody to get there in one piece. And we recognize that people are not necessarily going to moderate themselves to the extent that we would like to, but we're not going to have you on the road that way, which I think is great.
Yeah, I do too. And I think also, just you know, for the record, the more emphasis that can be placed on, it's like there are a lot of people who take care of this without even blinking, because that's
right.
The way it's properly done. You only hear about the things that aren't done quite right.
Yeah, and when they're not done, sometimes that has disastrous consequences for everybody.
Right.
So think about it. You know, where, well, I just had two drinks and it's 2 hours later and I'm fine to drive. I feel fine. It's like, I would say that we're never really positive how our bodies metabolize anything, including alcohol. And so maybe that's not such a great idea.
Yeah. And if it's just an informal after, if it's less formal after, you know, not a big deal, then you just sort of stick your head in and you are as moderate as you can possibly be, and then you go off.
And then it's like, yeah, I have a friend in from town, from out of town, and I promised to go to dinner, but I wanted to come do this first, so I'm doing it, and now I got a dash.
All right.
Ta-da.
Yes.
The other thing is, if you, you know, a lot of these things are an invitation for you and a guest, and if you want to bring a guest, fine, but then if you bring a guest, make sure to introduce your guest around, give them some context, to not get into a whole, you know, workplace discussion with your workplace mates about workplace junk. Just have them, you know, introduce them around. It's like, oh, Jill, this is, you know, so-and-so. You remember we talked about, you know, the time the coffee machine blew up and she was smart enough to get the fire extinguisher and the whatever. I mean, be able to do a little bit of context so that when the next time you have this conversation with your friend, they're sort of matching the face to the name. Oh, that's the handsy guy. That's the lady that saved the office kitchen from burning down. This is the guy that likes to make comments about everybody's mail as it's being delivered. I mean, you sort of know who you're talking to and therefore warned about who to be charming to and who to say mm-hmm and just stay away from.
And that is one of the first keys of proper hostessing, is you give some good word context. It's like, this is who this is, and I'm sure you'd like to talk about that. This is who it is, and here's your topic of conversation, should you so choose. I mean, it's a little facilitator in that, so that people aren't just standing there going, because I will
exactly.
say this, I have seen a real drop in people's ability to make conversation. And,
well, they don't spend a whole lot of time conversing anymore. They spend a lot of time looking at those little screens on their phones and kind of texting and talking to people who aren't there.
Yeah.
And you can always stop by your girlfriend's house on the way home and give her the blow-by-blow of how weird the, you know, the holiday party was, or how great the holiday party was, or that, you know, thanks to the holiday party, you discovered this great place that has amazing hors d'oeuvres and we got to go there sometime soon. I mean, that can be done after you're gone, but if you're going to be there, then be there.
Yeah, and as I said, some of these tips can be used at other holiday parties throughout the season.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also, at a lot of places, this whole notion of we want to do a, I forget what it's called, like a white elephant exchange or a cheap gift exchange or a gag gift exchange, whatever. Usually they set a limit on, you know, $5, $10 maximum if you want to exchange with people. If you don't want to do it and you know you don't want to do it and the rest of the office is doing it, just opt out. You know, you don't have to explain why. Can't do that this year. Then they take your name off the list, and you don't feel obligated, and somebody isn't left without a gift or exchange, feeling like the kid who was the last one to be picked for, you know, soccer.
Right.
as they're lining up. It's like, if you have no intention of doing it, just say, look, I'm not participating in this year. Please take me off the list. End of story. If you do it, then remember again, it is the office party. So the $5 sex toy that you were planning to amuse your exchangee with is not a good idea.
Happy Christmas. Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the right thing.
You are very welcome. Same to you.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.